This is Crime Binge.
All right. Are we ready?
We're ready.
I think we're ready to rock and roll.
We're ready to do this thing.
Let me just down this vodka real quick.
Directly into the microphone.
It's so close to me because I was so quiet before.
It's true. Sarah is a quiet little bean, but she's working on it because I am a loud and assuming person. So
I'm just trying to match tones here, not personality.
That's the only good thing in acting. Like, I can't act to save my life. That's why I was only ever cast as like a side character in a play.
Hey, we were literally cast as the same person. So.
We were cast as sisters. Okay, thank you very
but the
much.
Same role. You actually had the bigger role than I did.
I forgot my lines. I don't know if you remember that. But
you also punched me in the fucking tit.
I did. It was an accident, though.
Yeah, we're on stage, fake fighting. Morgan just
straight up
me.
Decked her in the face.
No, it was the boob.
Oh, was it? Did I not slap you in the face?
Oh, probably, but I also slapped you back. But you just as hard as you could punched me in the boob.
Nice.
It was a little painful.
Good times.
Glad we had it.
But yeah, that's the only thing I learned from theater was to project my voice. And I don't even think I learned it. I think it's just my family is loud as fuck, so
well,
I'm
you are
loud
half
as fuck.
Mexican, so.
It's true. We're a loud person. People.
You are a loud person.
All right. So, what are you binging this week?
This week, it's another food-like item. And
it's fine.
It's all because of you. You introduced this into my life. And for, like, the past week, I've been binging it. Except slightly different. So
I'm trying to think of what it could be.
Whenever we do our podcast, Morgan makes me a drink.
Oh, yeah.
And so the last time she made me vodka with Sprite and a splash of cran pomegranate juice.
Yeah, just and it was a little flavor.
Fucking awesome. And so I went to the store and I was looking for that cran pomegranate juice. And my computer wants to restart. No, thank you. And I saw cran mango juice.
Oh yeah, didn't you send me a Snapchat
yes.
about that?
And I tried that instead. And
is
it's
just delicious.
Like, it's a little bit sweeter.
Nice.
And it's so fucking good. And I've been drinking them every night.
I like, have to try some of that.
Get home from work, need a drink. It's delicious.
Yeah, I bought like cranberry juice specifically to make drinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know like what it was, but one day I like just drank a little glass of it and I like poured myself three more like big glasses of juice and just drank juice and then
nice.
Was like, why does my stomach hurt? It's like you just drank a whole fucking bottle of juice. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So is it juice that you're binging on this week?
No, it should be. I'm going to say, because mine is always media. I don't know why.
Mine's always been food. I mean, it's been media once or twice, but.
But the John Wick movies.
Okay.
Yeah, I was telling Sarah a little bit that I watched it last night, and we're going to watch the second one, hopefully tomorrow night. And then we'll see the third one in theaters, because Taylor really wants to see them. But for those of you who probably already know this and aren't super late to the party, it's really sad with the dog. And I wasn't sure if I could go on with the movie. But
I definitely only saw the second one, so I did not see that happen.
Yeah, I was like, because Sarah never sees movies. Yeah. So I was like, hey, did you see this movie? And Sarah's like, yeah, I definitely saw it. Or it was the second one that I could have possibly seen. I don't know. And I was like.
So, but now I did not see the dog scene that she described to me. So it definitely was the second one that I saw. I mean, it was a good action movie. You didn't really need the first one, but.
Yeah. I was like, what's going to be the catalyst in these other ones? But. I don't think
it's
it actually matters.
Yeah, it's just Keanu Reeves fucking.
It's like a very like quote unquote boy movie.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, it's just once Keanu Reeves starts killing people, it never ends. It's just like fucking never ending.
Snapping is fun.
But yeah, so the John Wick movies, because I'm late to the party, but they're very good.
Good.
Just sad dog things.
Yeah.
That wasn't entirely necessary, you know?
Like I understand why.
But like, one, don't show it.
Yeah.
I looked away, so.
Good. I also never watched Marley and Me because.
Same. Because I didn't want to watch the dog die.
Yep. I was like, I refuse to watch this movie.
I read that book as a child.
Oh, hell
and
no.
Cried. Well, like, that was the first book that's ever made me cry. And really, since then, I don't know if another book has made me cry, except for maybe Harry Potter when I was reading, like, the last book.
You know what book was good and made me cry? It's the one with the dog called Winn-Dixie. I don't know if the book is called Winn-Dixie.
Because of Winn-Dixie.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a sad fucking book.
Yeah. You want to know another sad book from our childhood?
Is it Bridge to Terabithia?
It's fucking Bridge to Terabithia.
I never read the book. I only saw the movie.
And book ended me, gutted me. Josh Hutcherson was like, he's always been my crush. Then he was in Hunger Games. Like, he grew up with us. And I was just like, what is happening?
Oh, yeah. He was such a little baby.
He's such a little cutie.
He is.
He has like a super hot girlfriend now. Damn. And I'm just like, wow, rude. All right. So, wow. This week.
Yeah. This week on our podcast, because that's what it is. It's a podcast about true crime. So we should talk about that a little bit.
We really should. We are going to cover our first duo.
Yeah.
And that would be Charles Ng and Leonard Lake, who are true terrible people.
Oh yeah, like the definition of serial killer and just
like sadistic motherfucker.
Yeah, especially we'll find out Leonard Lake is definitely like the leader, I believe.
Oh, he is. But like Charles Ng, I didn't want to cover it like fully on our podcast because like while we will say like more gory shit, like I don't think you would handle it very well because I was like listening to last podcast to like brush up on them, and they like read a quote from Charles Ng where he's talking about this act he does to women.
Oh, I have to know it.
Okay, I'm gonna maybe cut it out. They were talking about him. They're like, he's a lot like the toy box killer. Like both of them were.
Yeah.
They were like a mini like toy box killer.
So
that's Sarah's least favorite person, by the way. That fucks her up.
The toy box killer is the one person that I've like heard about so far that has destroyed me.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if we're gonna do it or not.
It is probably gonna be a while before we get to that point.
But I like my sister had all these books, and my sister is 6.5 years older than I am. And so she was much more mature than I was.
Yeah.
But when I was, like young, like, I would say, like, 12, I, like, you know, grabbed a book off of her bookshelf and read it while I was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Kiss the Girls, and it's by James Patterson. So I was like, okay, it's just a fucking James Patterson.
I think I've heard of that book, but I've never read it.
And it's also a movie, but the book is much better because I've read it as an adult as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So reading that at a small age, young age, it has prepared me for a lot of this stuff.
I read Wicked at around the same age, and like, I think my family was all like, this is just a story about the Wicked Witch of the West. Like, we don't have to worry about it. And I read the book, and it is, like, literally just all graphic fucking sex scenes. Like, so graphic. And I remember when I was reading it, I was like, if anyone finds out what's in this book, they're going to be so upset that I'm reading it.
It's like 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, basically. But with witches. And then, like, a year later, my aunt was like, I want to read it. And I was like, don't. Don't read it, please. Because I didn't want anyone to know that I had read all of that sex.
Welcome to our podcast. It's now called Book Binge.
Really? I love books. They're my favorite.
We just got the My Favorite Murder book.
Yeah. I haven't gotten to start it yet. Yeah,
the definitive guide on how to stay sexy and not get murdered.
Yeah. I'm super stoked to read it. Also, the last podcast guys are coming out with a book, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's not, like, anywhere close to... I think they're, like, still sending in the last proofs of it. But, yeah, they're working on a book, too. This weekend, I'm going to read that, hopefully.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm so bad at reading. I just can't, like, take away time to read. Especially, like, we just moved into our apartment, so we're, like, still now this weekend settled. We have to go buy a vacuum because we didn't own a fucking vacuum.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to the crime.
Yeah, we should probably get back to that. And we might, we're at 20 minutes now, so we're probably going to have to cut a lot of this.
Yeah.
From
book binge back to crime binge.
So, yeah, Charles Ng and Leonard Lake. Do you want to get this motherfucking started?
Yes. So we're going to start off with Charles Ng's?
Ng, yeah.
Charles Ng's early life. All right. So about Charles Ng's early life. So he was born in British Hong Kong on December 24th, the day before Christmas, of 1960.
What a gift.
Right?
To his the parents.
World. He was the youngest of three children, and his father was a wealthy businessman. But as a child, Charles was disciplined harshly by his father and is, like, physically abused in that way of discipline. That used to be a thing. and as a teenager, he just wasn't a good kid. Like, as a teenager, he was described
a spoiled egg from the start.
Oh, yeah.
It's a rotten egg.
He wasn't spoiled at all. He was described as a loner and was expelled from several different schools. He was arrested for shoplifting when he was 15. So his father sent him to Bethlehem Grammar School, which was a boarding school in North Yorkshire in England. Not long after being there, he was expelled for stealing from other students and was sent back home. So this is a common theme throughout his whole life.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking kleptomaniac.
Yeah.
He steals, like, it's literally his downfall.
Yeah, several times it's his downfall, too. It's not just once.
Fucking steals.
You think he would fucking learn, but no.
Yeah. Or at least learn how to be better at it.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna be a klepto, at least be good at being a klepto.
Arrested 1,000 times. So, after being expelled from the boarding school, he moved to the United States in 1978 when he was 18. And he went to the school of the College of Notre Dame in California on a student visa. And he drops out after one semester. Okay. Soon after leaving, he was involved in a hit and run accident. And then he enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps to avoid prosecution. And when he was in the Marines for less than a year...
Again,
he was caught stealing $11,000 worth of military-grade weapons. And he was charged with escape from confinement and attempted desertion, but the desertion charge was later dropped. He was convicted and sentenced to 14 years in Leavenworth, and he was released in 1982 when his sentence was commuted. He then meets Leonard Lake after being released and moves on to Lake's ranch with him.
Yeah. Another thing when he was, like, in the Marines is he, like, was going into the Marines so he could stay in America and avoid prosecution.
Yeah, because his student visa was also up.
Yeah, and he, like, didn't want to get deported, so he created a fake ID, and that's why they think he wasn't kept in his prison sentence as long in the military, because they just, like, wanted to get rid of him, because they, like, couldn't figure out where he was supposed to be, essentially. And because he was supposed to serve 14, and I think he only served,
like, four.
Yeah. So Leonard's early life was kind of similar. Not really. He just, like,
was a little more fucked.
Yeah. He was born in San Francisco, California on October 29th, 1945. So he's significantly older than... Yeah, he's
15 years older.
Yeah, than Charles. And when he was six, his parents got separated, so he went to live with his maternal grandmother, which is also, like, a very common thing with serial killers. Have you noticed that? Like, yeah. They have to go live with their maternal grandparents. Yeah. And, like...
Their grandparents are shitty.
Yeah. So... Lake was allegedly a bright child, but became obsessed with pornography because he habitually took photos of his sister's nude. And supposedly, the grandma encouraged these photos.
Which is fucked up.
Yeah, because she was like, it's art, it's art. And then, like, there started to get a more sexual nature to it.
Yeah.
So, overall, super creepy. But he took, like... tons of nude photos of his sisters. And he reportedly extorted his sisters into performing sexual acts on him. So, like, he would... I don't remember what the example was, but he didn't want to, like, do a chore. And he would, like, blackmail his sisters into performing sexual acts on them and, like, get them to do his chores at the same time. Like, wow. He was just overall a real shitty guy.
Yeah, even as a kid.
Yeah. He also tried to make the neighborhood girls his sex slaves at how old? Like 15?
Yeah. Like, you should be, you know, interested in kissing girls, not making them sex slaves.
Yeah. Just at that age, you know, maybe let's not.
Yeah.
Who knows? And he also collected mice and killed them by dissolving them in chemicals, which... Why did you, like, have access to these chemicals?
Yeah, like, and why did you have access to these mice?
Yeah. He also later does this to the bodies of his victims. So this kind of, like, was his prep, was mice first. And at 19 years old in 1965, he joined the Marine Corps. He served two tours of duty in the Vietnam War as a radar electronics technician. And during this period, he was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
So at least he had something wrong with him.
Yeah, like, he at least got a diagnosis. The thing about this fucking guy, though, is he's always like, I'm in the military. And, like, tries to make it seem like he, like, was out having active duty and shit. Mm-hmm. But he was, like, a radar technician. He was just, like, one of those guys who wanted attention all the time, so yeah, he would find any way to brag.
But just works in an office.
Yeah. So, while serving, he had a breakdown. And he received psychotherapy for this, but they couldn't really, like, fully fix him. And he was given a medical discharge in 1971. I think we said it, but Charles Ng received a dishonorable discharge. And let's see. So he went to college for one semester at San Jose University, and he left because he became obsessed with the hippie lifestyle in San Francisco, which, like, is where he grew up. So I'm not entirely sure why it was so different, enthralling, yeah, to him now. But he joined a group of hippies and settled down with them in a hippie commune. And when he got to this commune, he got married. But his marriage quickly ended after his wife discovered he was making and appearing in amateur pornographic movies, usually involving bondage and sadomasochism.
So, I mean, at least he's consistent from when he's a kid.
Yeah, it all checks out. He has the same fantasies. But this is, like, a common theme between the women in his life, too. They leave because he just, like, gets increasingly more sexual and more sexually violent.
Yeah.
So, in 1980, Lake was released from prison and given a year's probation for car theft, and he got married again to Carolyn Ballas. How would you say her name? Ballas?
Yeah, Ballas.
In 1981. However, she also soon left him after she got tired of his increasingly erratic behavior and his insistence that she star in his pornographic films. She just doesn't want to, man. Stop trying to fucking push it.
Yeah, because, like, if you're also, I mean, some people are like this. I'm not the kind to be in an open relationship or a swinger or anything. I'm very much, this is my man. And only I see him naked.
Yeah.
But also, like, why you want other people seeing your partner's junk and stuff? I don't know.
I mean, that's some people's thing.
Like, but I watch porn, but I wouldn't want to watch porn of myself either.
That's true. Yeah, that would be horrible to watch porn of yourself. That's, oh no. So he is arrested in 1982 for a firearms charge, but skipped bail and settled into a remote ranch in Calaveras County, which was owned by his ex-wife, Carolyn, nicknamed Cricket. So
it's a good nickname.
It is. Also, I feel like I've heard that name before in, like, a murder. I think it's the Marilyn. I always say Marilyn Manson. The Charles Manson murders, I'm pretty sure one of them is Cricket.
It's not Cricket. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I can look it up, because it's the person that, in The Office, Creed mentions her for, like, 2 seconds and says that he was, like, in a relationship with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
20 minutes later.
Squeaky.
Squeaky.
Her name was Squeaky.
It was something dumb. A cricket also squeaks. Kind of.
It chirps.
It rubs its little leggies together. So he also had a fascination with video cameras and would record himself talking about anything and everything. But a lot of the time it was about his Project Miranda, which was like his ultimate fantasy of what a woman should look like. He believed that women only existed to cook, clean, and be sexual slaves. If they were not doing these things, they needed to be put away, because that makes sense. And this is an actual quote from one of his tapes. "I want to be able to use a woman whenever and however I want. And when I'm tired or bored or not interested, I simply want to put her away, lock her up, get her out of my sight, out of my life." So he was a real trash person. And during this time, he met Charles Ng and the two struck up a friendship. They actually, like, met once, and I think Charles went into the military or had to serve one of his fucking jail sentences. And then when he got out, he was like, "Leonard Lake, help me out." Like,
yeah. So, and also that Project Miranda about, like, women being fucking terrible.
Yeah.
He got that idea from this book that he was obsessed with called The Collector.
Oh.
And in The Collector, I guess the main character is obsessed with a woman named Miranda and, like, has her as his slave.
Okay.
So that's why he called it Project Miranda.
Yeah. I think he also referred to them as, like, her or the Miranda thing as, like, M Lady or something like that. He just had weird names for it. Yeah.
All right. So after they struck up this friendship and the murders start, basically.
Yeah. Like, almost immediately.
Yeah. I think it was 1 month after they became friends that they started murdering. And they moved in together and began living together during 1984 in Calaveras County, which is in California, at a remote cabin that Lake was renting from his ex-wife, Cricket.
Yeah.
And next to the cabin, Lake had built a structure that he referred to as a dungeon. It was kind of like a bunker, because, like, a survivalist bunker.
Yeah.
And by this time, Lake had already murdered.
Most likely.
Already murdered his brother Donald, who was 32, and his friend and best man from his first wedding, Charles Gunner, 36, and stole their identity and money. Then over the course of the next year, they began a pattern of rape, torture, and murder. They mainly targeted women, but were not hesitant to abduct entire families.
Yeah, they did that like more than once.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
And like these families had young kids. Like not like a family with a 12-year-old girl or like something like that. Like young kids.
Little kids.
The men and children would usually be killed quickly, and the women would be kept for days or weeks being raped and tortured, and they basically, the two men, recorded all of this on film. And sometimes, fun fact, they would keep the men and children alive to watch what was happening to their mothers slash wives.
I don't know if that's a fun fact.
It's not a fun fact. It's an interesting fact.
It's more of an oh no fact.
That's what we're going to call them. Ready for another oh no fact?
Sure.
In one of the videotapes, one woman is shown asking where her child was after it was killed.
Don't fucking look at me like that, you psychopath.
I didn't realize I was looking at
you. She like had a little smile on her face as she said it. It was horrifying.
I apologize.
She's gonna kill me.
I'm not gonna kill you. Your boyfriend's here. It's fine.
That's true.
You'll like scream. Anyways, after our oh no fact, there are still some women that have appeared on the tapes who have never been identified.
Yeah.
Which is fucking sad.
That's always the sad thing, because, like, if they're not gonna get convicted of the murder, like, at least we can identify their bodies.
Yeah.
That's rough.
So, I know this isn't the first people that they kill, but this is kind of where the videotaping began.
Okay.
So, the O'Connors family were murdered. So, the wife named Brenda was just like outside in her backyard
doing her thing,
and she saw Charles and Leonard burying a body, and like
casually. Yeah.
And so
who buries a body in like the middle of the day?
I know.
I mean, maybe this happened at night, but they're so fucking stupid, it probably was like noon.
Yeah, like put up a fucking tarp or something. So she saw them and they saw her see them.
Yeah.
And they were like, she's gonna tell.
Yeah.
So let's just kill her whole fucking family. So they killed her, her husband, Lonnie, and their 2-year-old child.
Yeah, they had no fucking remorse for killing children.
And she was seen being taped, or she was seen on the tape being held at gunpoint, having to perform sexual acts. This is not the family that I thought it was, but that's okay. I thought it was the family with the video recorder, but it is not. That is still coming. And then also Robin Scott Stapley was 26, and he was believed to be living with Brenda O'Connor and her family when they disappeared. And then it's safe to say he was also killed by them, because later on you see Leonard like had stolen his identity.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm going to move on to the Dubs family, which they were murdered in July of 1984. It was Harvey Dubs, Deborah Dubs, and Sean Dubs, who was 16 months old, their little son.
Yep, less than 2 years old.
Yeah. And the family, that was weird.
Mm-hmm. Probably one of your cats.
Probably. The family had a video camera for sale, and the men went to their house to buy the camera. The family was then abducted, and that ended up being the video camera used to shoot all of their torture videos. Because
they had to get it somewhere, you know?
So their next victim is Michael Carroll. He is Charles' ex-cellmate, His driver's license was found at the cabin, and his name was mentioned in one of the videotapes that were found. It was said that Carroll was also a sadistic man and liked watching people die. Him and Charles also stayed involved in many criminal activities after, like, they both got out of jail. They kind of, like, partnered up a lot of the time. And then Kathleen Allen, who was 18 years old and was Mike Carroll's girlfriend, was a student in high school and got a call at work saying that her boyfriend had been shot and was dying to lure her out. She didn't know that, though. And she disappeared. Her last paycheck was sent to Leonard Lake's address.
Like, how fucking stupid!
That's so fucking stupid. I didn't know that. And she also ended up appearing in one of the videotapes at Lake's home, unfortunately. Randy Johnson, there isn't a ton known about him, but his identification was found at the ranch. And then Paul Cosner is a possible victim because the charges were dropped for Charles after no significant evidence was found. But like,
they definitely killed him.
He disappeared on November 24th, 1984, after showing his car he was selling to a quote-unquote weird guy. Lake was then later arrested with his car. So, like,
if they didn't kill him, they at least fucking kidnapped him and stole his car.
Yeah. Something happened to him.
So, after all these murders, there was an arrest.
Yes.
And on June 2nd of 1985, Charles Ng was caught shoplifting again.
Yeah.
But he was shoplifting a vice from a hardware store and tried to flee the scene. He calls Leonard Lake and says, "Dude, I just stole this. I got caught, blah, blah, blah." And Leonard is, like, trying to keep it kind of on the down low so they don't, like, arrest him.
Yeah.
And find out who he is and what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so Leonard Lake goes down there to pay for the vice. And just be like, "Oh, yeah, my friend, like, lost his wallet," or something like that.
Yeah.
But the police had already been called and were already on the scene. Police then are like, "Who the fuck are you?"
Yeah.
And they looked at his license, and Leonard Lake looks nothing like the photo on his license, which had the name Robin Stapley, one of the victims.
Yeah.
Who was 26 years old. And the man standing in front of him was clearly in his, like, late 30s, if not even early 40s.
Yeah.
Police then found out that Robin Stapley had been reported missing by his family. And the car that Leonard Lake was driving was, like, had belonged to a man, to Paul Cosner.
Yeah.
Who was 39 years old and had gone missing 8 months prior.
So, yeah, they just were really bad at, like, covering up their trail.
Yeah. Like, at least last week when we did Eileen Wuornos, she, like, would steal the car and then, like, a week later ditch it and steal another car.
Yeah.
They're just fucking stupid.
She was a true drifter, though, and they weren't.
Yeah, that's true.
They set up a fucking shed to do their crime.
So he was arrested after the police kind of searched his vehicle. And found a gun with an illegal silencer on it. And so Lake goes into custody. He's in the jail. And he had taken cyanide pills and sewn them, like, into little pockets in his clothing under his lapels. And they were cyanide pills. And he fucking swallows them.
Yeah, while in custody, like, waiting
yeah.
to be seen by, like, a detective or something.
Yeah. And so this causes him to collapse and go into a coma, and he survived on life support for 4 days before being pronounced dead.
Yeah.
Before his death, Leonard Lake writes a suicide note, which he titled to his wife, but it's still just a suicide note, or his ex-wife, confessing his name, Charles Ng's real name, and all the crimes they committed.
Even after death. He still wanted to be known.
Yeah, he's still just a fucking asshole.
Like,
so the police then searched Leonard Lake's ranch, where they found a survivalist bunker with a stash of weapons, a diary stating that Lake thought there was going to be a global global nuclear war. That's hard to say. And that Lake was going to repopulate the human race with a collection of female slaves, as well as they also found a stash of videos showing Leonard and Charles torturing and raping women.
Here's the thing.
That was all the tiniest burp I've ever done in my life.
All of these serial killers who say they're going to repopulate the earth with female slaves.
Yeah.
If you're killing them, how are you going to repopulate the earth?
Well, you see, he's got to find the really good ones.
Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense to me, because that's an excuse that's used often.
Yeah.
Like, they have this, like, I think the Zodiac Killer was, he at one point was like, I'm collecting slaves, yes. But his was for the afterlife. Granted, at least that was a little bit smarter, but. You good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, also in this little house, cabin, dungeon, thing, whatever it is, there was a bed with rope tied to each of the bedposts and just pieces of women's bloody lingerie lying around.
You know, sounds about right.
Sounds like my bedroom. I'm just kidding. The ranch was dug up because they knew that they had killed people. And, I wrote 11, but I'm pretty sure it's 12. 12 bodies were found in shallow graves, as well as 45 pounds of fragments of charred human bones that the police couldn't identify. The remains of Lake's friend from the military, Charles Gunner, was also found at the ranch in September of 1992. They also found a hand-drawn treasure map leading them to two buried 5-gallon buckets. One contained envelopes with names and victims' IDs, suggesting that the number of victims could be as high as 25, especially with that other bone fragment pieces.
Yeah.
In the second one, they found Lake's handwritten journals from 1983 to 84, and two videotapes documenting the torture of two of their victims. In one, Charles Ng is said telling Brenda O'Connor, "You can cry and stuff like the rest of them, but it won't do any good. We are pretty cold-hearted, so to speak."
He's so dramatic.
I know. And on the second tape, Deborah Dubs is shown being assaulted so severely that she could not have survived.
That's like, when you find out about that tape, that's just what all of the comments say. Is just, like, in quotation marks, so severely that she could not have survived. Ugh. And I'm just like, that's somehow worse?
Yeah.
To be that vague with it? Because you know it was even more horrible than you thought it was?
And, like, your mind just goes to terrible places.
Yeah.
I lost it.
Charles Ng escaped?
Yep. Yeah. So, after being arrested, Charles Ng escaped to Alberta, Canada. Not after being arrested.
Yeah,
after
I was
Lake,
say.
After Lake was arrested and killed himself.
Yes.
Charles Ng escaped to Alberta, Canada.
Which, where his sister sorry.
Lived. You're good.
Was he not also taken into custody? He was the one stealing. Like, did he get out on bail?
I don't know. I know that a lot of the times, whenever he was caught stealing and was arrested, his family bailed him out.
Okay.
Because his family was pretty wealthy.
Yeah. Okay.
So he went to go live with his sister in Alberta and remained a fugitive until a month later.
A month later.
Where, dun dun dun, he was caught shoplifting again.
Are you fucking kidding
so
me,
stupid.
My guy? Stop it. For just a little bit. I know a month is a little bit, but by a little bit, I mean like a solid year before you steal anything again. And again, note to you. Be better at it.
Yeah. So during the struggle, he like, fought back with the officers and stuff.
Yeah.
And ended up shooting an officer in the hand and blew off his finger.
Same. That's horrible. I did not do that.
Your finger is still there.
Taylor was like, I love you guys, but listening to your podcast is just you both going same back and forth.
Same. Sorry. That's who we are as people. So after he blows off this cop's finger, he was charged to 4.5 years in prison. So while in prison, police basically from America find out that he's there, and he ends up confessing to taking part of the murders with Lake, but said that his main role was disposing of the bodies.
Yeah, he didn't have anything to do with the horrible shit. He just disposed of the bodies. So it took until 1991 to have him extradited back to America, which was 6 years after being in Canada.
So I... Oh, you wrote it.
Yep. Who survived the encounters... Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. The reason it took so long to get him back to America was because he battled against being extradited because Canada has no death penalty. And he said it would be against the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms by permitting him to stand trial in California for capital murder.
Keep in mind, the entire time he was in prison, he basically studied America law. American law, so that way he could,
find loopholes.
Yes, and stay in prison as long as possible.
Yeah. So he didn't end up going to actual trial until 1998, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm really bad at looking at dates, so, this is just, relearning it for the, second time. He didn't go to trial until 1998, and the next year he was found guilty on 11 accounts of first-degree murder and was sentenced to death. His actual trial showed that he... I forgot that I wrote this. I was just going to casually read that.
Amazing.
So his actual trial showed that he continued to be a little bitch into adulthood and past all of his murdering stages, because he lodged a series of complaints, and here are some of those complaints. The strength of his eyeglasses was not enough. The temperature of his food wasn't great. And his right to practice origami in his jail cell was a right he fully fucking deserved.
Well, so I also read, apparently there is a website that has, origami pieces that he ended up making and signed.
Yeah.
And they're for sale.
I hate that. Yeah. I hate when people make money off of murder memorabilia. It's weird.
Yeah, but
I don't like know. It.
What you gonna make money on? We're making money on murder memorabilia.
No, we're not.
We're doing all of this out of pocket.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully one day make money on murder memorabilia.
Maybe. I don't think it's going to be murder memorabilia.
No. In our hopes and dreams, we will maybe make $5 one day.
So he also went through a total of 10 attorneys, much like Ted Bundy, and was eventually granted the right to be his own counsel. And I think he literally just, fucking out-annoyed everybody. And they were finally just like, yeah, fucking do it. I don't care anymore. They were just, when your parent gets mad at you because you're doing something stupid. That's what the judge was eventually doing. So, a little bit about Lake's ex-wife, Cricket, because she... struck up a plea deal. You wrote plot deal. That's why I couldn't think of plea deal.
It's a plea deal, a plea bargain, whatever.
She struck up a a plea deal and gave Charles Ng's name and agreed to testify in order to get away with no charges. But it's also said that Cricket may have participated in some of this torture and murder as well, because when police learned of the ranch, they had to ask her for directions because it was hard to find, and it was like kind of off in the distance. And she told them that she would meet them at the street and guide them to the ranch. In reality, she arrived at the ranch much earlier than the police and was trying to get rid of any evidence that was like having to do with her. In one of the videos, a woman is being is shown being raped, and the very distinct child's wallpaper in the background matched the wallpaper that was at Cricket's work, which was a child care facility.
Like, yeah, like it was like a daycare preschool kind of thing. And they're bringing women there to fucking rape them.
Yeah, like they probably did it at night when no one was there, but they still did that.
Like on top of kid toys.
They're just so horrible.
Yeah.
And just to wrap up the trial in general, the legal battle that Charles had ended up costing $20 million. And he is currently on death row with no execution date set.
Which this is $20 million in the 90s. Like, imagine $20 million now.
Yeah.
And, like, also, you've been on death row since the 90s, and there is no execution date just because he keeps, like, appealing, and everyone's just too fucking annoyed to kill him. But he is supposed to be killed by lethal injection.
Yeah. Well,
so that was whatever. That was the gist of Leonard Lake and Charles Ng.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot more, like all of these people.
Yeah,
but and that's it gets kind of just
a little more graphic sometimes.
Yeah, it's a lot more graphic. Yeah. Honestly, that's a lot of the places like where I was researching really didn't even go into the things that they did, and I think it's because they were so bad
and couldn't find it.
Yeah, I mean, like there's books and stuff, but ain't nobody got time for books.
Yeah,
so I mean, I love books, but I don't have time to read a book every week anymore. Even though I did that for literally like 3 years in my college degree,
your whole college career is just reading. So, now you got that 9-to-5, though.
I know. Would you like to tell us a Florida story to wash the bad taste of that out of our mouths?
I mean, I can. And I think this might put a good taste in your mouth.
Okay.
So, our Florida man story for the week.
Oh, God. By the way, we don't tell each other what the Florida man story is going to be. It's a surprise.
Yeah.
So this week it's Sarah's turn, and she's just been chuckling since she found it.
I don't know why. I think it's something my boyfriend would do. Okay. So I think it's funny.
Yeah.
Your cats are going crazy.
It's either that or Taylor just needs attention. Like a child.
It's either the cats or Taylor. Banging on the wall. So, the headline for this article is Florida man pokes girlfriend in the eye after she serves him waffles instead of pancakes. And it's from the Gainesville Sun.
Nice.
And it says, James E. Irving, Jr., aged 44.
Oh, wow. I was expecting someone much younger for some reason.
Age 44, got into a fight with his live-in girlfriend over his birthday present and preferred celebratory birthday breakfast.
Jesus Christ.
Irving wanted pancakes, but instead got waffles. To express his disdain, he poked his girlfriend in the eye, which prompted a call to the police department.
Which, like, maybe I'm just contrarian, but waffles are significantly better than pancakes.
It's iffy. I love them both. I can't choose one.
I really don't like pancakes.
Wow.
I like crepes. Oh. I like really thin pancakes.
I'm a slave. I'm a whore for crepes. Like, I will make crepes at my house.
Yeah.
And I will just eat them with butter.
Yeah, like, I remember.
Like, as they come out of the pan. And it's terrible for me, but they're so good.
Yeah, I don't know. I either like very thin, because it's still a little crispy, I think. Mm-hmm. And then waffles are crispy. Yeah. But pancakes are just too squishy for me. See? Not a fan.
And, like, I'm iffy about my pancakes. Like, I love pancakes.
Yeah.
But, like, they gotta be, like, either covered in butter, covered in some sort of fruit. Like, I can't just eat pancakes on their own.
On their own.
On their own. And you know who has terrible fucking pancakes?
Who?
Cracker Barrel. Hate their pancakes.
I don't love eating at Cracker Barrel in general because every time I eat there, I immediately shit my pants.
See, I lived 2 seconds away from Cracker Barrel, so I would eat there frequently and then be able to get home before I shit my pants.
You can race home really quickly.
Which is what I did with Papo's the other night.
So?
That's it. It was a good Florida man story, I think.
It was. It was good. I liked it. That was, you know, Charles Ng and Leonard Lake.
Yeah.
Go on to our Twitter account at Crime Binge, at Crime Binge Podcast on Instagram. We post a lot of updates there.
Mm-hmm. And we do also post, like, we do one post per episode.
Yeah.
And we, like, kind of post pictures about, like, who's involved in the episode, what's it about.
Yeah, kind of like put that. Some faces with some names.
Yeah.
And then if you want to send us any of your stories, send us some stories at crimebinge@gmail.com. But, like, really, download the podcast, like it, leave comments. I don't even know where you do that. I think it's only on Apple.
Yeah, but do it.
Leave a comment. Wow.
Because we're tiny babies in a big, well, tiny fish in a big sea of podcasts.
Podcasts. And we just want people to hear us, you know?
Yeah, we think we're kind of funny.
Yeah. I'm still on the fence about it.
We might not be funny. We think we're funny to ourselves and not to anyone else.
Yeah, we just, like, giggle the entire time because we think we're hilarious. Yeah. But it was a great week. And it was. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and also, kind of surprise, I don't think we're going to be doing a serial killer next week.
No, we're not. We're not going to do a serial killer
next
week.
We're doing some other kind of crime.
Yeah, we're going to try and, like, keep it where it's not just murders because this is Crime Binge. We want to do other crime that isn't necessarily a murder.
And I know a lot of them are murders.
Yeah, that's crime the most, that's interesting.
Exactly. But we're trying to find some other things.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
See ya.